All right, here we go. This is from our last few weeks as we're looking for Obadiah. Haven't found Obadiah? Keep looking there. Start at go back to, if you find Jonah, go back a book. I'm spinning where Habakkuk came from. Go back a book. So, sorry, that was even worse than the puns. All right. Jonah, go back. If you find Jonah, go back about one page, beginning of Jonah, and you find Obadiah. So here we go. Here's your pop quiz. This nation conquered number one, the Northern Kingdom. Anybody? Assyria. Two. This nation conquered the Southern Kingdom. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Three. Which is not a Southern Kingdom king? A, B, C, D. It's right in your, I'm reading right from your lesson. Which is not a Southern Kingdom king?
Jeroboam
is correct. Which is the shortest book in the Old Testament?
Obadiah.
The fig pinching prophet?
Amos.
The brother of Andy. The capital city of the Northern Kingdom?
Samaria.
The capital city of the Southern Kingdom? Jerusalem. What family relation was Esau to Abram? Grandson. Esau is Abraham's grandson. He worked with a Tekoan herdsman. Pinching figs. Amos. And geographically, in the land of Israel, which is the furthest north? Jerusalem, Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee, or Bethlehem? I've got a Bethlehem guest. I got Sea of Galilee. Which is the furthest north in the area of Israel? Jerusalem?
Dan.
The Dead Sea? Dan. The Sea of Galilee or Bethlehem?
Sea of Galilee.
Correct. You were right, Mr. McCarty, back there in the back. So this, we want to read a little bit of Obadiah to set the stage for our study. So we'll go right to Obadiah if you follow along. Verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. By the way, that would include us if we were alive back then, Gentile nations. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, Petra, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou shalt exalt thyself as the eagles, and though thou shalt bring thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Obviously, they've done something that has angered the Lord. If you're sure to gather that. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee, that they eat thy bread. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and the understanding out of Mount of Esau, very important there, where the people came from, where they came from. And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the Mount Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. In other words, you were guilty in one of the times when Jerusalem was taken over. You were a part of it. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Esau and Jacob. Jacob, Israel. Esau, Edom. A stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea. Thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. Stop right there. Wow. That's quite a condemnation, is it not? I tell you, I don't want to be an Edomite. After listening to that, I don't want to live in Edom. I don't want to be a part of Edom. But yet, this has been a long-standing feud. How long-standing has it been? And I would even go further. I would even go before the birth. And we'll see that in just a moment. But yes, you're all right. As we expect, the boys quarrel bitterly. Think about these. Have you heard of tales of family hate one for the other? Yes. When my mom was in her last, I told my brother, I said, I do not want money to come between us. So you take whatever you want. I'll take whatever's left. He said, you take whatever you want and I'll take what's left. And so that's where we are. And so we got a lot of stuff, mom stuff that's never been claimed. So it's down in our basement. So there we are. We took a little bit and that's it. We're still very good. We're closer than we've ever been, my brother and I. So this happens. There are tales of family woe. Why are our families sometimes, particularly our siblings, sometimes the hardest people to love? Where do you often let your hair down? Now, I can't do very much of that. I have decided since tonight is bad hair night downstairs, and I can't participate because if I win tonight, I win every time I go anywhere. So I have the worst hair everywhere I go, so I didn't participate. So back to the serious thing. Why is it sometimes, and I think it has to do with, we let our hair down with those on the job now, typically on the job, aren't you a little, you know, you try to behave the right way. You try to be nice. You try to keep your tongue under control and people want it. Yes. But at home, there's a little more lax, a little more, if we're not careful. Now, maybe it's not, but I think for some of us, it is because we want to have the proper decorum when we're in front of others. But at home, you know, just... So sometimes maybe that's why as siblings have a hard time loving each other. We say a lot. Yes, we said we should, we have two ears and one mouth and we should keep that in mind. Listen twice as much as we speak. Good points. So as we expect, the boys have quarreled bitterly. Can you tell me what is our family tree? The very first Israelite God chose. Abram, right, correct, Abram. And he had a half-sister he married named Sarah. They could not wait, so Sarah had gotten Hagar down in Egypt, and so she gave Hagar to Abram, and Abram and Hagar had Ishmael. Has God blessed Ishmael? Where's all the oil coming from over in the Middle East? Who's the descendants of that? Ishmael's descendants. So yes, so they did not wait. He was not the child of blessing. No, he's not there yet. So we have Ishmael. They did not wait. Abraham loved Ishmael, though. He loved him. I mean, it was his own son. So, but God said at 99, God says, "Wow, it's a big fire." God says to at 99, but next year you're gonna have it. So wait, it comes along, and at 100, here comes Isaac. Ba-dum-ba-dum, Isaac's here. Sarah, who's gone through menopause many, many, many years earlier, now is able to have a child. So that's the history. And then Isaac comes along and he wants, is he about 40? Isn't he about 40 when he finally gets married? He's at least 30, if not 40. So they send off, he doesn't want to marry somebody close, so he sends off and they find Rebecca. Rebecca comes back and she sees him walking, she lights off the candle and puts on her veil and then they're married, etc. And then we come, and she finally has a child. Not only does she have one, she has what? Two. They have two. Right, there are two. And if you want to turn over with me, it is 25. 25:21, please, of Genesis. Genesis 25:21. Oh, I didn't give you the book. Genesis 25:21. There are four main people in Genesis 13 to 50. Who are they? Four main people. Genesis 12. And Joseph. Very good. Very, very good. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Genesis 25. Look what happens in 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she had no child. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. That's like the worst stigma you could possibly have in that era to not have children. Matter of fact, the law said if you don't have a child of your own, you can have a someone to have another, to have a child by, and that was counted as your heir in that culture, And Rebekah conceived. And the children struggled together within her. If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in their womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. And so when John Phillips says in his, he said something about, something to the effect that over time, two nations developed from the families of two boys. The two families were related by blood. They were driven or divided by everything else. Little love was lost between the two peoples, just as little love had been lost between the two brothers. Even before the twins were born, Esau sought to murder Jacob. Now, I thought, well, that's a little bit over, but you know, there has some substance to that. I mean, they're struggling in the womb, are they not? So, and that may be a little exaggeratory, a baby murdering the other baby, but there is such animosity. Why is there such animosity between Isaac had Esau and Jacob? Why is there such friction? You give me several reasons. Okay? Were their mom and dad, equally loving of both? No. Isaac loved Esau and the venison. And the mother loved Jacob. And so they were somewhat guilty. Now, Jacob finagled the birthright from Esau. But there was such anger. Do you remember how angry Esau got after that happened? He wanted to do what? Kill him. Exactly. So what did Jacob do? He ran off to whom? Laban. Was there, how long was he there with Laban? 20 years. Good. He came back with and a lot of problems. Two and two. The Zilpah. And he had 12 sons, one daughter, and four women, and a lot of problems. And so, when they come back together after 20 years, you remember how they meet? He starts sending the ones he liked the least in front, and the next he liked best, and the next he liked best, and he saved Rachel and Joseph for last, because they were his favorite. But he was figuring, if Esau, who was still mad, maybe he'll kill a couple here, maybe he'll kill a couple here. But by that time, surely he'll be tired of killing before he gets to me, because that's how the relationship they had. So, when you come to Numbers 14, please, Numbers 20, verse 14, please, Numbers 20, verse 14, that will help you, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the third book of the Bible. My hands are just not wanting to do the right numbers. 20, verse 14. Keep that in mind when you come to Edom and Israel. Look at this. And Moses, 20:14 of Numbers, sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of whom? Edom, Petra. Thus saith thy brother Israel. You're talking about two people that are the same grandpa, and that there's so much animosity between the people groups. Thus saith the brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail or travel that hath befallen us. Now it's been some time. It's been what? They've been in Egypt 400 years, right? Yes. So it's been quite a long time. How our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us, that's saying it mildly, evil to us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, He heard our cry, and sent an angel, which was the what plague? What was the angel of death? Or the death angel, or it's not even mentioned angel. It was the, I believe that was, could be Denver thing. But the first, the tenth plague, Christ leading them out, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt, and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. Now, we just pause for just a moment. In geographic means, which I think I have in my handy-dandy thing up here, I'm hoping I have a map. I do not have a map. I do have a map. Do I have a map? Map. I do have a map somewhere. All right, this is the best I can do. So this was a, for 3,000 years, this was a huge, from Damascus all the way down here to the Gulf of Aqaba. Aqaba? Whatever. Aqaba. Yeah. So there's this road. It has to go right through the land of Edom. And so they're like, trolls, you want to call it, this bridge is guarded by a troll. So to cross the bridge, you got to give the troll a lamb to eat, or they're letting you across. You're not getting through this area safely unless you pay the tribute to us who control this road. It's called the King's Highway. And so they made all kinds of money by controlling that. So they're coming up out of Egypt and trying to get to the promised land or going wherever. And they want to go through that area. And so they're asking to go through, and they're not saying we'll do it for free. We will pass through 17, that through the fields or through, we will not pass through your fields or through your vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. Now that's a pretty reasonable thing. Be thankful we don't turn on, we don't do like we did with everybody else we've gone through. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only without doing anything else go through on my feet. Now that's pretty accommodating. And he said, thou shalt not go through, and Edom come out against him with much people and with a strong hand. And Edom refused to give Israel passage to his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. That was so. This, the womb thing, the womb, when they're in the womb and struggling together in the womb, it's still going on. That womb thing is still going on this very day in the world today. It still is. It will be forever until the Lord comes back into rule and to reign and Israel's in their rightful place following the Lord, etc. So that is the history behind Edom. That there's this animosity. The children of Esau and the children of Jacob. From the get-go, almost from the get-go, there's been this angst and anger and turmoil, and Jacob, yes, took the condom out of the blessing, etc. And Esau never got over it. And Jacob chose wisely and grew in the Lord, and Esau grew away from the Lord, I believe, more and more and more. So that is why we have this diatribe against Edom, because they have so mistreated the people of Israel. And I was thinking, as I was reading and studying today at lunchtime, I was thinking, why are we not in the Bible as a country? Why? And there could be, and there's no right or wrong answer. I have a new thought came to mind. Nationality not there yet, yes. It's people that are, basically the people in the Bible are people who have a proximity to the Middle East here. I mean, you've got some up here, you've got some in Northern Africa, but basically people on our side of the world, there's not a lot of time. I thought today, though, is it because everybody here has been antagonistic toward Israel? Maybe our current, at least in the past, stance as a positive toward Israel has kept us from being I like those answers far better than mine, but I was just thinking, we wouldn't be here yet. I'm not saying we're not going to get here if we don't keep, but these are all nations who have been clearly anti-Jewish. And those are the ones that are going to be punished. That's why I'm saying pastor never says the Jewish people are perfect. They're not. They're sinners that need to be saved. But they're God's chosen people. And they're the whom the whole Bible is centered on in a much way, is it not? The Old Testament time was about whom? There were some Gentiles important, but it's the Jewish people. Yes, we may not like that. God's ways are so much higher than ours. I was telling Tom as we're training Tom to do my aging thing. I said, now, Tom, this is the way I do it. And you can choose to do it any way you want to when you're doing it. He said, I'm not changing nothing right now. You do it the way you're doing it. And that's the way I'm going to learn to do it. If I ever, it'll be a long, long time before I try to even change anything the way you're doing it. Cause that, you know, you've worked on it for 2 years, blah, 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 blah. So we are working together. And we're striving together. So the theme of the lesson, really, I think of the bottom page one, is this. This lesson focuses on people of Edom, relatives of Israel, who rejoice to see their brothers fall. Edom's pride and eventual fall serve as a warning to us about the consequences of pride in our lives. Top of page two, Philip says, the essential message of the book of Obadiah is that anti-Semitism eventually brings God's judgment. Nations that curse and persecute the Jews will reap what they sow. So it's going to be, no matter what country you are, I think, and no matter what era you are going to reap that. And so that's really the introduction. And, we have the man then. I think we're ready for the man. Oh, yeah. Yes, we are. The man, first of all, the man Obadiah, or the name Obadiah, means servant. If you're blank, servant of Jehovah. Page 2. There are at least 13 men in the Bible named Obadiah. We know nothing of the personal life of this Obadiah who wrote the book. God used the right book. So Philip says a number of people, we assume men, in the Old Testament were named Obadiah, 12 or 13, but none of them can be positively identified as the prophet. And no one knows for sure just when the prophet Obadiah preached. He has been grouped with the earliest prophets and placed among the latest. Some 600 years divide the champions of one view with the champions of another. And so some would have him all the way up in here, 845, with the very beginning. And some would have him all the way down to here. This is 845. And so then some would have him during this time here. And some have him going into, because of the Jerusalem, they were part of the Babylonian attack in 586. So some have him all the way down here. Some have him all the way up here. So we can't say with certainty, but we do know they were part of a people group that attacked Jerusalem. And there's four times in the Bible when Jerusalem was attacked. However, they have been destroyed twice. Jerusalem has been destroyed twice historically, besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, and captured and recaptured 44 times. So Jerusalem has been through the mill. And so, but in the Bible, there was four times that they were attacked. Now, who is Obadiah? Was he the God-fearing one during the prop put 50 by 50 in a cave during Elijah's day? Surely not, says someone. Was the Obadiah the law teacher when Jehoshaphat sent into the cities of Jerusalem to preach the word in 2 Chronicles 17? Was the Obadiah the unnamed man of God who advised Amaziah not to allow the northern army to accompany him in an expedition against Edom in 2 Chronicles 25? Was this Obadiah one of the overseers of the temple in the days of Josiah? We do not know. All we know is Obadiah's name. He was simply a voice crying in the wilderness. He was one who dared to be forgettable. All we know is the message that he delivered. We don't know, if he was a great horse rider. We don't know if he's a fig pincher. We don't know. But we know that he was a man who obeyed God. And that's the bottom line. When we get to heaven, it's going to be, what have you done for God? Or what have you not done for God? Good thoughts. You read ahead, read it again for next week if you can. It's a very challenging book. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you that you're God of love. You've given us a wonderful country to live in. We got problems, yes. All countries have problems. But like Mr. Womack said, we can rejoice because we're children of the King. We know you as personal Savior. We will spend in heaven with you because of what you've done for us at Calvary, nothing of our own. So we are grateful. We thank you so much for dying for us. May we be your witnesses the rest of this week, the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.